Well, we're going to get back into our teaching tonight. We've been off of it for a while now. I guess, what, 4 weeks? This will be the fifth week that we were away from it, but we're teaching on a subject of what did Jesus say about the end times. And it's important that we look at, we're looking at these things because the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me a few weeks back. I've never considered myself per se as an end time teacher. Yet, over the years, God has specifically spoken to me on numbers of times that He would say, I want to show you some things. And a few weeks ago, He said, I want you to start to go back in again. He said, there's things I want to show you about the end times. And so I have never, some people have, they dedicate themselves to study these subjects. I believe some people are called to do it, and I believe some people just do it on their own, and it ends up like it's on their own. And because it is always wonderful when you find somebody who is God has specifically given an area to. And there's certain people in ministry where God's given them a specific ministry in an area to teach certain things. And that was one of the things as Mel Piper, God, certain things that God had called him to teach. And one of the things is dealing in the end times, which I was really glad because the revelation that God had given him was also very helpful to me, because when I got to sit down and talk with him, because of people teaching in certain areas, that they would use Scripture, and Scripture gets cross-used into areas where it should not be used. And I don't know of how many of you here, now you're not old, some of you are maybe older enough, or myself, I was born in 1950, so I was born in time of the healing revivals of the 1950s. So back in that time period, there was a lot of things people were pushing in about the end times, and that was a big thing. And one of the reasons that was because Israel in 1948 became a nation. And there were certain mentioned things in the Scripture toward the end times about Israel. Well, they took certain scriptures, which were, the scriptures were correct about Israel becoming a nation, but they only took part of those, and so they began to build certain things in teaching. And it's proved out to be wrong over time. Those scriptures aren't wrong. Those scriptures are right, but you got to use them in their context, and when you use them in their context, it changes some things that were said. There was a lot of ideas about, because Israel became a nation, like they expected, well, Jesus is coming right away, because Israel become a nation, now we're leaving. And so it became a big thing in the 1950s that the time had come for the church is going to be taken. I remember as a kid, church, I mean, that was the big thing. I mean, they were all believing, that in a matter of years, this is all going to be over. Well, here we are a long time past, aren't we? And it still hasn't come. But when I sit back and look at scriptures today, as God's taught me and I've gone back over and studied things, I see that there was things that they taught, the scriptures did say, but when you take things out of context and you start reading them in a context with the other things they say, they bring light to you about these times. And so we're going back over, we're looking at things that Jesus said. And Matthew 24, we've been using that. Now, the last time we met, we talked specifically, we had talked about some things looking through in Matthew 24. And we had talked some things about with the Antichrist. We had looked at the fact of when the abomination of desolation, we looked at those events that take place that signify something. And we're looking at what Jesus said. Jesus talked to the Jews about what's going to happen at his second advent. Always remember that. There's two main things that we're dealing with here. It's a difference between when the church is taken and the second advent. We always need to remember that. People cross those scriptures when it's talking about Jesus' second advent, or when he comes to the earth to set up his kingdom and deliver Israel. That is a different event than when the church is taken, the things that Paul wrote about. And so people have crossed these scriptures up, and tied things together and have made things confusing over time. And we want to make sure that we understand that, that when we're talking about these things that we're going through in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the events that are going to take place that are going to close out an age. Remember this, when the church leaves, really in a few years' time, Jesus returns in approximately 7 years. We know, I don't know if it's, it, we don't have, it's going to be from the day, 7 years exactly, when the church is taken to the exact, you know, a calendar-wise. It doesn't tell us that. To when Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. So, that closes, really closes out an age and enters the age of the millennium, dealing with the millennium, what the Bible teaches about. So that will start. So when the church leaves, it is a very short period of time till the final, everything's finalized concerning that. And so also we could, I was today sitting down and go over a thing and just putting some things together with myself, reading and studying some things dealing with the Book of Revelation, also dealing with these things that I'm teaching and some other things dealing with the church. We deal with things of talking about where people don't understand. There's different resurrections talked about from Scripture. There's different resurrections. And we need to understand there is a resurrection of the dead which takes place when Jesus comes for the church. There is a resurrection that will take place of the church. There's, in fact, the Bible tells us that the ones, the Christians, the saints who have gone off to be with Jesus, they are going to return with him. They'll receive their glorified bodies. And then the Bible tells us, Paul said, we who are alive and remaining are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to forever be with the Lord. But we need to know that the Bible also talks about other resurrections. You know, there is a resurrection. The Bible already teaches in the Gospels, two resurrections have already taken place. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and also the resurrection, there were people resurrected when Jesus, right after he was resurrected, and walked in the city. And who were those? Those were the saints that were held in what was called paradise or Abraham's bosom. They came, there was a resurrection that took place then. Lots of the church doesn't realize that. Also, at the end of the tribulation period, there's going to be a resurrection takes place, which is going to be the resurrection of the saints. In other words, the ones who died during the tribulation period. The Jews and stuff, different ones, the preaching of the Gospels, the ones the Bible talks about in Revelation that were beheaded and things. Those ones and others who have died during that period will be resurrected at the end of at the end of that period. Also, there is another resurrection that comes, the Bible talks about, and that comes at the end of the final judgment after the 1,000 years. Then the dead who died or held in hell, those will be resurrected and stand before the white throne judgment of God and then cast into the lake of fire. They're going to be resurrected. See, a lot of people, the Bible's clear on a subject. The Bible tells you they're going to be. But a lot of people don't read these things. We get mixed up in our minds. We see these terms, like people look in the book of Revelation, they see resurrection. Well, the church must be going to them. Because we have this thing of one resurrection. I'm sorry. There's more than one resurrection that takes place. We need to, if we understand these things, then when we read the Bible, things don't get, you know, are not so confusing to people. So as we go back into Matthew, one of the things that we have here is dealing, we have come to the place in Matthew where it talks about Jesus is coming. If we look at the things that took place or happened that with the Antichrist and everything, and we talked about really dealing with the areas of Armageddon, those things that are going to take place. When Jesus comes back, the Antichrist is going to be coming against the nation of Israel. They're going to be coming against the city of Jerusalem. And so the Antichrist is going to be, in fact, when Jesus shows up, we talked about Jesus, it talks about his showing up. He's going to show up on the Mount of Olives. He's going to come. And so when he comes back, he comes back for a judgment. He's going to carry out a judgment against those who are in the earth. Those who are in the earth. And so we're going to look, we want to look at these things. Jesus tells the people of that age in which we which we read in Matthew 24 and verse 30. We had read this before. It said, "Then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." It says the signs of the Son of Man are going to take place. There are signs. So we want to know the importance of this. God has always had signs that came up in different events in biblical history when God was going to do certain things. Now we find, like say, when Jesus was born, we know that there were certain signs and things that followed. In fact, Scripture went as far as telling the city he would be born in. We have the prophecies of Daniel's laying out time periods. All these things that people could follow to see that you were reaching a certain point. Now, we have the same thing here, the signs of the Son of Man. He's going to give signs that the people at that time can tell whether or not they're arriving at a certain point. And so we have them here. He said that these signs, these people are going to see him. In other words, the earth, the world here, we have the people in the earth. He says the tribes of the earth mourn. The tribes of the earth here are talking about the people who have been under the sway of the Antichrist, who have taken the mark of the beast. Anybody who takes the mark of the beast is going to end up in the lake of fire. They cannot be saved, according to Scripture. They take a mark of the beast, they cannot be saved. Impossible. And so we'll find out, because see, they're part of the terror system, in which those ones will be bound up and thrown into the fire. That's what the Scriptures teach us. Also, we need to understand this. Those who have not received Christ, there will be coming. We're coming up on this time when Jesus shows up. Anyone who, at that point, has not received Christ as the Messiah will not be able to be saved. They will not. You can't wait till Jesus goes, "Oh, okay, I'm going to accept it now." That will not happen. We have a lot of strange ideas in Christianity. It's hard for us to believe that God's going to close the door on a thing, but He will. He's going to close the door on this thing, and we'll look at Scripture as we go through to find these things out. It says at this time, He's going to send, in verse 31, He's going to send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other. This is the gathering of the ones who have died in the tribulation. He's going to pull everybody together. He said, from one end of heaven to the other. So He is going to pull together. That's one thing that He's going to do. There's going to be a number of things that will take place at that time. When He comes back, the judgment will fall on the ones who have been in the with the Antichrist and followed the Antichrist, took the mark. They're going to be judged. The Antichrist and the false prophet, the Scriptures we read about, are going to be cast into the lake of fire. The first thing He does, then all the followers, they're going to be destroyed. So off the earth, all of those who were in unbelief and wouldn't follow God are going to be removed from the earth, according to Scriptures. They're going to be removed. It was one of the things that I always like this, because today people hear things in Scriptures they don't like to hear. See, a lot of people don't like to hear these kind of things. They don't want to hear this stuff. They don't want to hear, "Oh, God's love, He would never do that." No, then the Scriptures are either a lie or, what is it? They don't like to hear it. Mel Piper, I remember the first class I ever set with him in was Old Testament Men of Faith, but he used to always say this, because sometimes looking at the Old Testament, some things can seem a little bit dark to when you look at things and things, events and things that happen. And he used to always say this, stay on God's side. God is always right. Always stay on God's side. Today, much of the church world opposes God because we have this so-called love that we have, and this love means, God would never do anything to hurt anybody. It would never happen. Well, the reason Jesus Christ went to the cross was to save us from the wrath of God. Those who do not accept Christ receive the wrath of God. See, that's New Testament. But it's not like today. We don't like having that. We want another kind of Christianity. And this is why it is so important. God doesn't want to pour His wrath out on anybody. It's not His intent. But man has a choice of what he chooses. They either choose Christ or they choose something else. Well, I'm going to stick with Jesus. I just found out that's the best way to do it. Now, here we have the elect of Israel. God's going to gather them together this time because what is the millennial reign is coming. During the millennial reign, Israel's kingdom is restored and Israel is set in its place, really, is going to be the ruler of the nations. That's what Israel's going to be, the ruler of the nations. So, God is going to establish, that's part of that reign and rule. In Matthew 24 and verse 32 says, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near." Now that's one of the scriptures that they used because Israel as a nationally was called the fig tree. It was used many times in scriptures. Israel was a fig tree. And here it's talking about when it's tender. In other words, Israel really, worldwide, if you follow church history, it is the only nation in the earth that was destroyed and sent into oblivion that ever came back to be a nation again. You look at any other nation in the earth, when they were destroyed, dispersed, and that stuff, some other nation took over their place. Israel, we have, came back to its nation again. Now, this was one of the signs of the end. Ezekiel talks about the dry bones. That is about Israel becoming a nation again. So, here we have Israel becomes a nation. Well, this is one of the areas that I was talking about when I was in back in the 1950s. They became a nation. So now, see, this, because the Bible says this generation is going to be the generation that the end will come because of this generation. Well, it doesn't say that. It talks about the generation, but they didn't read certain parts to it. And this is what we want to do. One of the signs toward the end, now think about it, this is 1948. Now 1950 is when Kenneth Hagin got his vision and God spoke to him about the end times and told him about what was to come. And told him we were in the last days, and we did. Around 1950, right when Israel became a nation, really started toward the end times, really began. Is what we would call the end of the end. This is when it really started for the church. Now, we look at it as a fact of, we've gone all these years past. Look how far we've gone. But we need to understand, it's like Peter said, don't forget, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. In other words, in the mind of God, this thing has been very, very short. But if you follow through Scripture, and I've told you this before, go back and read in the prophets. Some of the prophets, prophesied 40, 50 years. It wasn't until 60, 70 years or so some of their prophecies actually came to pass. So God is, when the Bible says long-suffering, they're right. God's very long-suffering in what he does. Well, God has been given warnings, a lot of warnings down the road on these areas and about the return. I think, what was it, was that Jesse Duplantis? He was caught up to heaven, it was the end of the 1980s. It's like 1989 or something like that. 1987, 88, 99, somewhere around there. And when Jesus caught Jesse Duplantis up to heaven. And Jesus came to Jesse and he said, "Jesse, tell my people that I'm coming back." And he said, "Yeah, Lord." He said, "I know." And the Lord said, "Jesse, tell my people that I'm coming back." And he said, "Yes, I know." Jesus looked at him again and said, "Jesse." And he said, "All of a sudden it dawned on me. I'm really not thinking that he's really coming back." Now, see, all that time. But Jesus was stressing to him to tell people to get ready. Now, this is 1987. See, we need to be careful how we think about this thing. Like to us, we think on the areas of God and time. But you know what? America has backslid terrible. Yet God was given the warning. And the whole thing of it is, people didn't believe it. That's why they backslid. That's why, God delays his coming, and people think, "I got time, I can just sort of lay back." And it's been our big downfall. It's been the huge downfall. It's why we don't have moves of God like we'd like to have. Because we got time. So it's really important to understand these things, that we're moving and thinking in line with what God's doing and the direction God's going. Now, we have here, it goes on verse 33, we're going to read in Matthew 24. It says, so you also, when you see, now listen to these words, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Now, when he says this, now remember, he talked about Israel becoming a nation, but he said, what, when you see all these things, not when you see Israel become a nation, that's the only thing. All these things he's been talking about. See, he's been talking to these people about the abomination of desolation. He's been talking about all the events coming up to that, about when you see that, get out of town. All this stuff that he's telling them, when this great tribulation comes, that they're at the door of Jesus returning, and when you see all these things, now, when you see all these things, he said, take place. He said that you know it's near at the door. He said, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. This generation that sees all this stuff. The generation that sees the abomination of desolation. The generation that sees the Antichrist come into power. Sees all this stuff happening that Jesus has been listing on the end time. You see, they didn't do that before. Before they, Israel became a nation. So, boy, it's going to go this generation. See, they thought the generation that got the nation of Israel started was going to be the one who was going to see Jesus can return. And they weren't. Well, the Bible didn't say they were. They didn't see all these things come to pass. We haven't seen all these things. Now, we are not going to see all these things. We're not going to see the abomination of desolation. The church will be gone. But Israel nationally, God is starting to deal with Israel and starting to turn toward that now. The time of the Gentiles is coming to a close. It's coming to a close. God is dealing. The tribulation period is about God's dealing with Israel and leading in to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Hallelujah. We, the church, are going to be glorified. We're going to be at a whole different level than what's going on in the earth in those days. We need to understand that. We're going to be glorified. We're going to be just like Jesus. We're going to have a body just like His. We're going to be glorified spiritually. That's spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. So, praise God. But these events are going to be taking place. This generation, so it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So this group of people at that time period can know by the signs of the time exactly where they are, that they're at the point where Jesus is going to be returning. So the Messiah is going to come. Israel is going to see the Messiah. So they're arriving at that point. It's the end out of an age. It's going to be a horrible time. One of the things I think that God is being so specific about things, and I've said this before, I think the horridness of the time, you know, people need to understand when these events are fulfilling and taking place, the 100 million man army is going to be attacking Jerusalem. They're going to be slaughtering Jews like crazy. And, you know, Jerusalem is going to be on the verge of collapse. It's going to be, it's going to be a terrible, horrible time. Jesus himself said it's going to be the worst time there ever was on the face of the earth. And to me, that's very hard. To me, when I think, you know, like places like Auschwitz, I can't imagine in my mind it being worse than that. I can't imagine in my mind the horrible things that happened. You know, if you go back just to 70 AD when the Romans took Jerusalem and killed over 1 million Jews just there and taking the city. They crucified, I forget how many hundreds of thousands of them, and all those kind of things that took, the horrible things that took place. It's hard for me to comprehend that it's going to be the worst time on the face of the earth. So, but the Bible says so, so there it will. I am thankful for this one thing that we'll be in a glorified state at that time. I'm just thankful that I won't be in the earth when that's going on. And I won't be there. And if I would be there, it would be in a glorified state. It wouldn't affect me. That's a horrible thing. To me, it makes, man, why don't people get saved? Whoa. Be a good idea. Well, in verse 36, it says there, but of that day and hour no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, this statement is made, says nobody knows, only my Father knows. Now, you understand this about Jesus. Now, what position is Jesus in today? What position does he hold? He holds quite a few titles. He's, you know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the head of the church, but he's God. And does he not know today? Now, you understand, when Jesus makes this statement, he makes this statement as a man. He's not glorified God at the time. He makes this statement, only the Father knows. Why? He's not operating as God. So he's operating as a man in the earth. Now, today, I will guarantee you, he knows. He knows when things are going to happen, because if he don't, he ain't God, because he's not all-knowing. If he don't know, he's not God. Well, he is. But we need to understand Jesus is ministering this. This whole thing is being ministered by Jesus to Jews as a prophet, a man who's a prophet. He's telling them, he is speaking, like he said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. He's speaking by the Spirit of God, just as a man would do in the prophets and under the prophet's anointing. And that's what he's doing. So he's speaking these things. This is God talking. He said he didn't say anything Jesus, that the Father didn't say. So we know that he's saying that, these are words of God. So in other words, the exact hour and time of Jesus' return, but God lays out clearly, they can know when it's at the door, when this thing is ready. They can know that it's the time for it to happen. And I will guarantee you this. They will definitely want him to come quicker than he does because of the things that are coming on so terribly on the earth. But, hallelujah, God will fulfill his word. Now, Matthew 24, verse 37 then goes on to say this. Now, at this time period, because we talked about this one before, it goes back, but as the days of Noah were, also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Just like in the days of Noah. Now he said, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now I want to talk about this a little bit again, because think about the time period. In Noah's flood, he brings reference again to this. This is one of the times that we had talked about before, where Noah's time, because with the prophecy that Kenneth Hagin had received, said that we're living in a time which was equated in the same manner. And I can see it very much. You know, you think there's a lot of warnings going out to people today, that there are people who are following God, giving out warnings to people and preaching the gospel and telling them, warning people the time. It's one of the things you're going to see more of that. You're going to see more of that take place, of warning people of the time. We see here that these folks, they went on living like nothing's going to change. Right now, one of the great troubling things that I see in the body of Christ is most of the body of Christ is living like everything's going to keep going the way it is. It's one of the things, I personally don't think things are going to improve or get better. I do not think so. I haven't had God speak to me or tell me about anything improving, getting better. The only thing he's talked about me is things are shaken up and they're going to stay shook up. They're going to stay the way they are. I don't think we're going to see this, the things that are happening in the government control and things concerning COVID. I don't think you're going to see any of this change. I think you might as well get used to it. I don't think you're going to see any of this change. In fact, I don't think you'll see things get worse. I could sit down and I don't know if you folks remember the prophecy I put out of Kenneth Hagin, 1963. He talked about the communist bit of takeover in the United States. He talked about it. And he told Kenneth Hagin that we were going to lose freedoms that we were never going to get back. Well, here it is. We're losing freedoms quickly. We're coming under a form of government where the government wants to dictate everything that's going on. I don't see it great from one party to the next. They're, you know, the stuff they're fighting and carrying on about and that stuff and things that they're doing before we left to go on vacation, when the Lord spoke to me the one morning and said to me, he talked to me about judgment was coming. And he said this, they're going to call on me and I'm not going to answer. That's what he said. And he got silent after that. I talked to him about that, but he's never answered me about that. He said that, it just got silent. You know, there's certain things, and people need to understand this. God has emotion. And I'm going to tell you what, God gets fed up with things and he will quit talking to him. Randall Greer, goes back when Obama was first voted in his presidency. Randall Greer was at a church and they were praying about the election. And they had been praying about the election, things going on, and they had done it over numbers of days. They had done praying. And he said that they were praying about this. He said he was holding services at this church, but they were doing some prayer time, and he said he was walking back and forth in the podium. Said never expected a thing. Said he's walking back and forth and praying on the platform of the church and walking back and forth and praying. And he said he walked over the one, and he turned around and came back, and he looked, and he said what he didn't expect. He saw Jesus sitting on a throne. And he said, Jesus leaned forward on the throne and pointed at him and said, don't you talk to me about the election anymore. He said, you tell the Americans they're going to get what they want. And he said, they ain't going to like it. And Randall Greer said, because somebody asked him, well, did you pray about that anymore? He said, uh-uh. He said, after I saw the look on his face, I wasn't praying about that. And that's where he told us that he told us to tell the people they're going to have 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter. That deals with when Israel wanted a king. And he said, yeah, you're going to have one. And basically every good thing he's going to take. He's going to have it all. Well, aren't we there today? Do you know one thing we're dealing with here in America? And I can't believe you don't hear the church talking about it. We're under the curse. Go read the curse of the law. Go read Deuteronomy 28. Go read Deuteronomy 28. It happens when the curse is... When the curse, people get away from God. What happens? It's exactly what we're doing today. The aliens in the nation are rising up above us. That's all the curse. We have the Muslim. Nobody complains about the Muslims, their religion, and murder and killing people and everything, but they hate Christians. See? That's just part of the curse. They'll hate anything that's good. We're living under a curse. And the Christian church is preaching like they're like the days of Noah. Everything's the same. Marriage, given in marriage, and everybody's just going on like everything's the same. No, it's not. It's not the same. They don't even notice it. You know, it's funny because if you deal with the days of Noah, they say they're doing those things. They're living like things are going well. Are things going well? I'll tell you what, the sinners did. The sinners in Noah's day, the Bible tells us in Noah's day that people did evil constantly. Evil was the dominant thing. Evil was constant. We're living in a nation where evil's becoming constant. And people are still acting like, yeah, we're still doing pretty good. It's like, oh, is this pretty good? You see, you can get over and get so tied up into evil that it just becomes part of life, and it's just, well, it's just what it is, and you know, we can get by doing it. And so, it's amazing because man becomes really sort of cold to the evil that's going on, and people don't notice all the evil that's taking place and going on, and they just keep going on the thing. He said that they did not know until the flood came, verse 39, and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Who got taken away? The evil got taken away. Well, again, we're going to find, because that's the parable of the tares. That's what the tares are. So they got taken away. See, Noah was not a picture of the taking away of the church. You know, people use that, say that is, but he wasn't. Noah didn't leave the earth. Noah was the picture for Israel of what was going to happen with the second coming of Jesus Christ. The righteous were going to stay on the earth. The righteous were going to inherit the earth. Remember Jesus? And they, what do the righteous, when we talk about, you know, the people use the things of Jesus, you know, talking about all the blessed are this and blessed are that. And the people always talk about it. But really, a lot of that was prophetic. The righteous inheriting the earth, that's the millennial reign of Christ. The righteous inherit the earth. Have you seen any time in time period that's taken place before? No. The righteous are going to inherit the earth. And that's what that's about. The righteous inherited the earth with, we go back to Noah. The righteous inherit the earth. It's going to take place again where the righteous will inherit the earth. So that's coming. We're at the heels of that right now. So they didn't know till it came and took them away. They didn't even notice it was happening. Is this going to, you know, I assume that people, when this enormous army is going to be set against Jerusalem, I really think that most of the people in the world are going to be, we're going to finally get rid of those Jews. The Antichrist is going to have everybody, all these people with the mark of the beast, they're all going to be, yeah, let's get rid of those Jews. They're the problem. We already see that's getting amplified already today. That's getting really pushed back again. Antisemitism is getting big. We're pushing back on that again. And it will come to the thing. I believe this. I believe when the church leaves, you might be surprised if you were here on the earth, how many of them would think it would be better if the church left. Oh, they'll go on with their religion. There's going to be the false religion is going to come up. There's going to be a worldwide religion. We're already moving into that. All these groups are starting to get together, moving in the same place. You know, the spirit-filled people are joining up in groups and getting back into this stuff. You know, we're going back to the mother church, the Roman church. This is the mother church. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's the church. I'll tell you, that's the one we're going to go back to. We're all going to get joined together. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss this one out. You know, if you don't see me at the gathering, don't wonder why I didn't come. Oh, praise God. So we see that, you know, that really, so wicked in the earth in that day is going to dominate, it is going to rule in, like it did in the days of Noah, which we see that really coming forth today, is really pushing forth today, is wickedness in the earth again, is pushing. I can see today that the Antichrist coming into power, he's going to be the answer to people to things. He's going to be the big unifier, you know, and he's going to get people on board. But you know what? The earth's going to stay wicked. It's just going to do wicked. They're just going to have people that they're going to focus their things against. We already have that already today. You know, this they call it this woke stuff, and I just call it just devilish evil people, wicked people doing their things are out here. The whole idea is godlessness. That's what socialism and communism is. It's godlessness. It's what it is. It's in the church world today because much of the church world is becoming godless. It's all social action. It's all social stuff. And it's moving away from faith in God. So we have the fact of the removal of the wicked. At this time it says, now, they just said in Noah, what happened? The wicked were going to be removed. Now listen to this in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 in verse 40 says, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Now this is a very interesting because this scripture is used all the time about the church being taken. Well, we're not talking about the church. This is talking about a whole different time period. Now what did he, who did he just say in Noah, who was taken? The wicked were taken. The godless, the unrighteous, were taken off the earth. Well, now, how could this be the church? See, this is one of the things that I had the terrible time. I was a young Christian. I'd sit down and read the Bible, and I'd read these things, and then they would pull certain scriptures out right in the middle of the tribulation and say, this is talking about the church. And I think, well, how could that be? How could that be the church? Well, it's not the church. Because, see, they forgot all about the parable of the tares. They were just talking about Noah's day. See, when the church preaches that Noah is a picture of the church leaving, well, they preached that wrong. That was the wrong revelation. That wasn't the picture of it. In fact, we have Jesus tells us in the picture where it fits. See, this is why, you know, you can take some scriptures and you can pull a scripture out, preach certain things from them. But when you're dealing with this subject that we are here through these chapters, for chapter 24 and 25, you cannot pull things out and take column off to someplace else. This is chronological teaching. This is Jesus giving a chronological order of events. Anything pulled out is pulled out of context. See, to me, this stuff here was so, when I was a young Christian, this was so easy to understand. I can see why so people get messed up because they sit in a church and they listen to ministers get up and pull a piece out here, pull a piece out there. So when they sit down and read, they don't read it from its context. They don't read it. They read it, and when they hit this certain spot, they'll say, oh, this is talking about this, or this is talking about, hold it. This is talking about the same subject the whole way through. This is what makes it so easy. This is why the average minister can't preach from the book of Revelation without getting in condemnation. Because this is, if you understand the things that Jesus said, you go over to the book of Revelation, there's a lot of things you're going to understand in its timetable of events. Now, because the book of Revelation is not written in chronological order, but you can see the picture of yourself where things will fit because you know what Jesus said. You'll find that, this fits over in here with this going on. This stuff fits here. And see, that's what makes it easy. And so, this is the big thing, is we want revelation on the Word of God. Not just we sit down and try to figure something out. Let God teach us. The Lord said to me years ago, He told me to, especially the letters of church, He said, I want you to start reading the letters of church like a letter. He said, I want you to take them, forget all chapters and verses, and just sit down and read it like I'm writing you a letter. He said, do you think I wrote letters to people and they had to sit down and try to figure out what I was saying? And I said, well, Lord, no, you probably did. They were letters to figure out. And I just started reading letters in chronological order, and I did that for a couple of years. I was amazed the revelation I got out of Scripture just by sitting down, reading things in their context. There's certain things that you can get, there's other things you could, meanings that you could get out or use something, but we should always be looking for the revelation in context. That we should always be looking for. What's the context of something that was said? And the first time I ran into that was, I had just gotten born again, and a Jehovah's Witness knocked on the door of our place. That was at 321 Canal Street. He knocked on the door, this Jehovah's Witness. He came and knocked on the door, and I just opened the door, and this guy's standing there, and he has a Bible in his hand, and he says to me, he has his Bible, and he goes, he takes the Bible, and a verse from the book of Revelation, he goes, what do you think this means? Well, I said, I don't know. I don't know what it would mean. He's like, shows me one scripture. It's one scripture. What do you think this means? And personally, I think it was God working on me. I think it was the anointing, because I just said to him, I said, well, you're the one to come here. Why don't you tell me what it means? So he went on blabbing off all this means. And when he was done, I said, come in here a second. And I said, just a minute, I'm going to get my Bible. We're going to read that in the chapter to see what it means. Well, I could tell you he was getting uneasy. When I said, I was getting the Bible, we're going to read it. And I sat down and I read it through on the chapter, and I said, this didn't say at all what you said. This has nothing to do with what you said. Oh, he got mad. And I just stopped him. I was real nice to him. I said, sir, I didn't come to your house. You came to my house. You told me this verse meant this certain thing. And I said, you lied to me. It don't mean that. I said, I proved you lied to me. I said, if anybody ought to be mad in the crowd, it ought to be me. Because you came to my house lying to me. And he went and turned around, went out the door. Never did see him again. But he came out. But see, the whole thing of it is reading it in its context. What does it say in its context? Well, the verse was very explanatory in its context. You could see what it meant. And see, this is what you do. They take scripture here, scripture there. Say this, say that. But you put it in its context, don't say that at all. It doesn't say it at all in its context. So, and that's why it's important. Because as I learned from Kenneth Hagin, he said, you make a Bible say anything you want. You can pull things out and make it say anything. And you can if you want to. I don't want to. I don't want to start another religion. I figured the one that Jesus preached was good enough. I don't think I'm bright enough to run another one. I don't even want to get into that stuff. So here we see that there's ones that will be taken away. There's two grinding. So at this time period, what we're going to find is people being taken, because we're going to have people in the earth, people who are going to have the mark of the beast. They're going to be taken at this time period when Jesus Christ comes. So we're going to have people that are going to be taken. There are people who are going to be left who are going to enter the millennial reign. They'll be part of the group that enters into the millennial reign. At the same time, just think about it, we're going to have a resurrection of the ones who have died, have been put to death. Now, you're going to find this out. People get the idea, and I've said this before, they have the idea that the Antichrist is going to be ruling everything and everywhere. Now, you need to understand this. If you follow through teaching in the New Testament, when they talk about the world, at that time. They're talking about the known world where they lived, which was under, basically those days, dealt with the different empires. We go back to the Old Testament. The empires were, in other words, around the Mediterranean Sea and around that area, that was considered the world all around there, because that was the known civilization. Now, we know this at this time, and there have been people living over in America. They've been over there, over here in America, building pyramids. They've been over here doing stuff. But they don't know nothing about them. So when you see the scripture, they talk about ruling the world. It is not this work ruling the world that they know, the world that they are familiar with. It's not, you're going to find this. There's areas, even within the Middle East, there's areas that the Antichrist will not hold, which the scriptures tell us. Moab and Edom are not going to be held by the Antichrist, because that's going to be a safe place for the Jews to go to. What would it do a Jew any good to flee Judea if the world, everything is held by the Antichrist? It's not. We're going to see very much of what's going to happen when Daniel saw the statue with the great head. When the feet part was a part of a weakened Roman Empire, we're not going to have an Antichrist kingdom that's going to be this great kingdom that is, there's going to be all kinds, the Antichrist is going to have a tough kingdom to hold together, because he's going to be having trouble all around him too. Now, number one, when evil operates, there is never unity. Unity never operates under evil. And this guy's going to be evil. And his kingdom ain't going to be this great thing, and everybody's tickled with him. He's going to be dealing with rebellion of countries. If you read scriptures about it, he's going to be rebellion. He's going to be dealing with wars going on. He's going to have stuff going on he's dealing with. So we're going to have, there's going to be some turmoil at that time. Now, as we know concerning the kingdom, he's going to rule a lot of that area, but it's a lot of it's going to be by force and not because people like him. It's going to be by force. So he's going to have some major problems in that area. Now, we have, one of the things we find from scriptures, if you go over and you read in the book of Revelation, you'll find out that the army that comes together, the 100,000 man army that comes out of the east, it says. Now, some people say that's China, and I believe it's probably numbers of nations over there is going to put up a 100 man million army. But do you know how that army, why that army comes? It doesn't come because of the Antichrist. The Bible tells us, says there's three spirits that are going to be sent out. Three spirits are going to be sent out, and they're going to draw them into that area. There's three demon spirits that are going to cause them to come there. It isn't because they're going to come, they like the Antichrist so much. They're going to be influenced by these spirits. And those three spirits, the scripture tells us, are going to draw them into there, is where they're going to come. In other words, really God's involved in this thing, because he's going to draw them in there for judgment. That's what he's going to do. He's going to call all those nations, all those people come together. The devil's going to think he's doing this thing and making it work. God's got him set up to bring him there to put him under judgment. That's what's going to happen. So that'll be taking place at that time. So praise God again, folks. This is something that we are glorified. We're not. It's not a thing that the church is going through, or we're going to be seeing things that happen. So, in the same way, it's going to be just like, as the scripture said, this just like the days of Noah, it's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man, it's going to be in the same manner. That's what Jesus said. It's going to be the same type of things going on. So things are not going to be pretty or good, yet people who are under such deception, they seem to be just, well, we're just living on and we're just going to, you know, we're going to make this work. It's almost incredible, because if you sit down and reading the book of Revelation at the amount of people that are going to die during those time periods of judgments poured down here, it's phenomenal. Huge parts of the earth, the world, people are going to die. I mean, they're complaining about the oceans today, and you know they were killing the fish. I'm going to tell you what, during the tribulation, fishing's going to get tough. And freshwater, from freshwater to oceans. I mean, it talks about where all we're really contaminated, or not, the fresh water is going to become poison, people. I mean, it's going to be an awful, awful, terrible thing that is going to be happening in those days. Those things are happening. Yet people will expect to just go ahead and live on and live on, just like they were in those days. You know, we're just going to, you're going to have 144,000 who are going to be preaching, telling them what's going on. And there's going to be a large amount of people not believing. it's hard to figure out. No, but now, we need to understand this. We're sitting on this side as Christians, and as Christians, we have light. So we see things, but we need to understand. People in darkness do not see it. People in darkness don't see it. Understand that about people. Unless people decide to come to the light, they want to come to the light, they're going to have to. You know, there's people today that have set and are, you say, look at all the things that are going on. It's like, to me, I sit and look and think, man, I never thought things were going to get like this and Jesus would come. You know, I didn't think it was going to go this far. And then the Lord reminded me of what he told Brother Hagin. Before things get to their worst, the church will be taken. And I thought, when he reminded me of that, I realized, it's going to get worse, ain't it? this is going to get worse. We have this great idea, and I found that it's wrong. That if people would arrive at a point where things really get bad, they would turn. You read the book of Revelation, it never gets bad enough for everybody to turn. Never. God pours out his wrath in the earth, and they curse God. They don't turn to him. They curse him. They don't want him. But people in darkness, they've made a choice of darkness, and they keep going in that direction. Well, let's not go in that direction. See, we have been reading, from Matthew. Remember from Matthew 13, where we had gone through the parable of the tares, and where Jesus had explained in Matthew 13 and 36 through 43, we had read where Jesus dealt with the people. And the tares were, the disciples came and they said to him, Lord, tell us about this parable of the tares. What does it mean? And he told them about that the sower went out to sow they had sown the word. And he said that was his word was being sown out there. And he said the devil came along and came in and he sowed his seed in there. And they came up. And what he told them to, at the end of the age, what they were going to do, there was going to be a harvest at the end of the age. And he said, you wait there, and the first thing they're going to do, the first thing is they're going to harvest the tares. That's the first thing that's going to do. So we know this. When Jesus returns, comes back to the Mount of Olives, the first thing will happen, the tares are going to be harvested. The tares will be removed. Then there's a resurrection of the righteous at that time. That's going to take place. Things are going to be getting set back into the order for the millennial reign. So these things will be set in order. And but the parable of the tares, he said, what's going to happen? Those tares are going to be put together in bundles. They're going to be thrown into the fire. Verse 42 there says, they will be cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then what does he say this? Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who hears, who has an ear to hear, let him hear. The righteous will shine forth then. So the reign, the 1,000-year reign is going to be a reign of righteousness. The tares will be removed off the earth at that time. Now I'm going to stop there because going in, the things that I want to talk about would take too much time if we go on into any more of it. Because I don't want to stop in the middle of it because we're going to look at Jesus dealing with them as coming as a thief in a night. Those dealing with those areas, when I was a kid in church, they always say Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. And he's talking, they always preach at the church. You just never know the time that Jesus is coming, which was completely false. It's completely that is talking about the second advent when Jesus comes to set up his church. We find the New Testament says a bit different. It always amazes because you get on religion. Those, like I'd say to my father read his Bible all the time. But he did something that Kenneth Hagin, I got a hold of him when I was first as a young Christian, and he said about reading your Bible with your religious colored glasses on. In other words, you have your preconceived ideas of thinking, and when you read, you see it in the light of what you believe, not in the light of what it says. And I really found that out to be true. I found that to be true. I find out that that's one of the reasons why many Christians have such a hard time getting revelation from the Bible, because they never read the Bible without their religious colored glasses. They go at it with their belief. They don't just sit down and read it what it says and let the Holy Spirit reveal something to them. They go with their religious ideas. And don't do that. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. I was always glad I didn't know a lot about the end times. So it was good. I just knew this. There were some things that I saw when I read that I knew that the people that I heard at that time were way off base. I knew they were off base. But I didn't know why they were off base. I just knew it didn't make no sense what they were saying. And which was really helpful when God started to deal with me. I didn't have to overcome in that area a bunch of wrong teaching that I believed, that I thought was right. That's helpful. And so just sitting down and reading something like you've never seen it before, like you don't know the subject, is usually a very good thing to do, because then God can reveal things to you, and that's what you want. You want Jesus. I've often thought, my father would read the Bible all the time. I thought, didn't he ever read Thessalonians where it says that we're not, Jesus is not going to come to us like a thief? I will guarantee you, my father probably read that hundreds of times in the Bible. But see, it didn't fit the way that he thought about the end times. And so he always talked the opposite way. Always talked the opposite way. Why? Because he never changed his belief of what the Bible said. He received that something was true that somebody said. And they just would use that all the time. And they'd use this, Jesus is coming. You never know when he's coming. It never teaches us. The examples in the Bible from the Old Testament, the New Testament, in the Old Testament, we have Enoch, we have Elijah, we have those as pictures of the church being taken. And those two incidences we have, people knew they left, and they knew when they were leaving. We know this, Enoch left the faith. If Enoch did not know he was leaving, then he could not have left the faith. You can't leave unless you know it's by faith. Without faith, I can't please God. See, we have to believe. See, the church operates in faith. When we look at this, and as we look more into these areas, we're going to look at find this out, that when these people dealing with during the tribulation period, many are saved by their works. I'll show it to you in Scripture. You know, the Bible's clear on the subject. People don't realize. This is why with them, they're supposed to, he tells them, Jesus is coming a thief. They don't know the time because they're not operating by faith. You know, the parable of talents has nothing to do with money. And a thing in the world to do with money. It's about obeying the master. That's what it's about. And the one guy didn't obey the master, you know what happened to him? He wasn't saved by faith. There was no once saved, always saved. He was sent off to the lake. He was sent off to hell and was under eternal punishment because he didn't obey the master. You see, then Christians will get that, even preach that stuff wrong, and they'll get over and try to put a Christian under condemnation. Boy, you do anything wrong, God's going to get you. You're going to hell. Let's do that stuff when I was a kid in church, see? Oh, man, you disobey God. You're in trouble. They don't realize. You have to understand what the Bible's saying, its time period, and who it's speaking to. You need to watch how you preach it. And see, they didn't. Man, I tell you, they had people scared. I was a kid, I was scared to death Jesus come back because I knew I was going to hell. My words, everybody, you know, I don't see how anybody got saved. And the poor people in the church, they were trying to get saved all the time. You know, they didn't know, because the way that Scripture was used more like a weapon than it was anything to bring peace. The Apostle Paul said, comfort one another with these things. Heck, there wasn't nobody comforted in the church I went to. You were holding on the pew, hoping Jesus didn't pull you out tonight. There wasn't no comfort there. And so there's a difference between the salvation by faith. And when we begin to look at these things, you're going to find out about these things concerning salvation. The salvation after the church leaves is not going to be the same as it is. If we know salvation. And so, praise God, we'll look at these things. Hallelujah. That's why accepting Christ right now is the best. It's the best. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The church age is the wonderful age. It is. It's the great grace of God. thank God for all that will be saved in during the tribulation. But I'm going to pay attention. It's going to be hell to get through it. Many, many are going to die. The scriptures tell you, they're going to be beheaded. That they've received Christ, they're going to be beheaded for it. And weak will ain't something you're going to want to have at that time. Because I tell you what, when you have the majority of the people are going to be taking the mark of the beast. And you're going to have people just encourage you. People, if you take people in our country, the average person in our nation follows the crowd. And it's going to be hard for people because they're just crowd followers. That's what they are, they're crowd followers. Whatever the crowd's doing, that's what we're going to do. And that makes things hugely difficult. Because what it destroys your will. Destroys your will. You don't want that to happen. Hallelujah. God is well able to take care of us. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you tonight, Lord God, because your word is great and it's good. And Father, I'm just so thankful that you're revealing these things to us. And really, Lord, I see the greatness of the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And I just want to thank you. I thank you for the security that we have. Father, the knowing by faith, Lord God, that we're born again children of God. Father God, we're going after the word. Lord God, and I want to thank you, Father, for this time we're on this earth, Lord God, that we don't have to be afraid or worried because you have a future that you plan for the church of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you that that future is secure in Jesus' name. Father, I realize the trouble and things that goes on in the earth, but the word tells us that even in this earth there's a lot of trouble. You said so, Jesus, but you said you overcame the world. And so I want to thank you. You overcame it for us. So Father God, you're well able to take care of us and look after us. Even though with all the things that are going on around us, Lord of God, I want to thank you that you're securing and holding us, Lord God, that we're at peace and rest, that we're not worried or afraid. Hallelujah. You're well able to take care of your people. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.